Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
I feel weird because there's no dog.
There is a dog.
Okay.
You have willed it to be so.
It just didn't feel right doing a Coffee with the Sarlows podcast without Winston or Parker sitting here.
I know.
Especially Winston.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to name today's client Newden.
Okay.
I have no clue if I am pronouncing this correctly. It's an Ojibwe name.
Oh, cool.
So if somebody's listening to this and says, call her and let her know how you pronounce it. Please do. You are welcome to. And so obviously I've made up the name because we always make up names of our clients to provide confidentiality. So I went online and looked up Ojibwe names.
Beautiful.
So this gentleman I can see over Zoom and he looks to me like he'd be in his mid-40s. So I'm guessing. Could be a little bit older, could be a little younger. And at the beginning of the session, he says to me, Karen, I booked an hour with you and I just want to hear from my mom. Hmm. And he said, I have nothing else on my agenda today. Can you just connect with my mom, please? So I said, yeah, going to give it a try. So when I connect with
So modest. Like it's ever been a problem for you. Anyway, go on. Okay.
Well, it has been a long, many, many years of doing it. So anyway, so his mom comes in and says, I'm passed over. And I said, oh, okay. But she says, you always ask stuff like that. So I just thought I'd introduce myself and say that I died and that I didn't just disappear on him. I died when he was 10. Mm. And she says, so he's struggling with some memories. So he's hoping that in doing that, communicating with her, that some memories will come back. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't tell me that. She does. And then she says, I'm going to give you a little bit more information. And then you can tell him everything. And we'll just kind of keep going along. See how he does with it. So she says, I want to play something for you. And I'm like, play something? And she goes, yeah, I want you to listen for a second. I don't know why, Kelly, but I thought it was going to be like a recording of something she said to him. No idea why I thought that. I hear Ave Maria, like just an absolutely beautiful song. And I'm like, okay, what is the meaning? And she goes, well, the meaning to him is that he knows that I played this during his childhood, during those first 10 years, periodically, and that I hummed it. But what I want to tell him today is that I also played it and hummed it when I was pregnant with him. And she says, so I'm doing this and I found this one on purpose because he's trying to bring back memories. So I thought if I told him something that occurred while I was pregnant, that it would help him. So I said, okay, I'm going to mention this to him. And she says, tell him about the pregnancy as well. That is definitely not something he didn't know. So I told him that and he looked at me and he goes, I do remember her humming it. I do remember her playing it in the house. He said, Karen, I do that.
Oh.
He goes, this is really nice. He says, this makes me feel close to her. He said, I play Ave Maria. And he said, and I hum it. And my partner says to me, are you doing that for any particular reason? Like, why that song?
Unconscious self-soothing?
Yes. Isn't that lovely? Mm-hmm. So he tells me that. And then his mom, so the whole session is like back and forth, eh? And then his mom says, do you see my teeth? And I said, no, I don't. She goes, I'm going to give you a better picture of my teeth. So I can see her teeth and the top teeth are so straight and even. Like they're so, it looked like she'd been to dental work. Like to have it done. But when you look at the bottom teeth, Kelly, there's crowding. And you can see where the two front teeth are kind of pushed forward. And you can see that the tooth just beside that on the one side looks like it's pushed up, but it isn't. It's just because the other two in the front have kind of come out and dropped down a little bit. So it looks like it's distinctive. Mm-hmm. And she says, mention my teeth, please. So I do. Newton says to me, look, like this. And I said, what? And he goes, can't you see my bottom teeth? Look at my top teeth. And I said, oh, I said, you'll have to come closer. I don't. So he does. He comes closer and he shows me that he's got teeth so similar to her, Kelly, where the top are really nice and the bottom teeth look in the very same way as his mom's. And he said, he says, this is really cool. He says, I appreciate that you're telling me that. I didn't think about my mom's bottom set of teeth like this. He goes, but now that you're saying it, it's bringing back a little bit of a memory of that. Mm-hmm. He says, I have teeth like my mom. And you could see how much pride he had when he's telling me this. Then his mom interjects again and says, he saved my life. And I said, okay, tell me. And she goes, well, I was with his dad. And she said, and it wasn't a good relationship. It wasn't healthy, Karen. It wasn't healthy for me in the least. But I was super people pleasing and I was going to stay. And she says, and I thought getting pregnant was just totally fine. And he'd stay with me and love me and we'd be a family. And she says, nope. That's when he left me, when I told him I was pregnant. And she says, and that was probably one of the best things that ever happened to me, or I would have had a life with that man. Mm. So she says, so all through the 10 years that I had with my son, I always said things to him like, you saved mama's life. So I told him that. Did not have that as a memory, but thanked me for telling him that.
That changes a lot of things, the way you view yourself. If he grew up feeling abandoned by a dad or not enough to stick around for, but you find out maybe that the soul contract was for you to come save mom. That's huge.
Yes.
That's going from insecure attachment to secure.
Yes. I just love how you do that.
Thanks.
But then I have to pause in my head in a second and skip to my next message because you've done it.
Thanks.
And I'm not going to say that we talked about secure attachment style in any depth, not at all. I'm just going to say thank you for telling everybody, and I'm going to move on to the next thing that she wanted to share with him. And she said to him, there are tons of memories of math. She said, I loved math. I love numbers in all kinds of ways, all kinds of games. She said, I don't just mean like adding and subtracting. She said, you guys would call it Sudokus now and like all kinds of things. She says, I loved sequencing things, just liked anything that was math. And she said, because I liked math, she said, I liked building shit. She said, so I was very good at wanting to put things together because I could measure stuff. So she said, I loved hanging things or doing building. She says, so I was very handy. And she says, I try to always include him. And she goes, so he's also a lover of math. And she says, I loved games. And she said, so we would always play in the evenings. Like a bonus would be not so much, you know how other people say, I'll read you a book? Well, she didn't offer so many books in the evening. It would be, we can play a game, or we can do something math related, or we can build a project. So there was lots of stuff around that. And when I told him that, he said, you know what? I do have a little bit of memories of that. And he said, that is very much me. And he said, but it's more my partner than it is me. He said, so I feel like I'm learning that I married my mother. And he said, and that makes me really happy. Mm. And he said, because that is totally what my partner is like. And that's something that we have in common. But I don't think I'm as good as my partner. He says, but that's neither here nor there. It's just really lovely to hear I married my mother. Isn't that cute?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I know that he has three children and I know that they're all boys. She said, I want him to know that because I want him to know that I've been around him through all of those hard times because those three boys came because they adopted them. And he said that wasn't by choice, but that's just how the life path was meant to be for them.
And she said, could you please explain it that way? So when I told him that, he looked at me and he went, do you realize what you're doing for me here? And I said, I haven't been through that, so I don't understand it quite to the degree that I could only imagine what it would mean for you. And I said, but she's answering some questions is what I'm assuming, that you may have felt like a failure, or your partner did, or the struggle that you go through when you're adopting, but before that, where you're trying to have children on your own, perhaps. And he said, exactly. And he said, I'm relieved. He said, I'm relieved to hear my mom say that it was just on our life path to do this. And he said, you know, we're older now. And he says, we've figured that out now. And he said, but at the time, you don't think that way. You think there's something wrong with you. And then you think there's something wrong with your partner. And then you might feel that you're mad about it, but you don't want to be mad because you love them. And he said, you might, like, he says, both of us just went through so many different feelings. And he said, it's wonderful to sit here and hear my mom say that this was meant to be like this. And he goes, of course I know that now when I look at my children and I love them. But man, oh man, he says, just sitting here hearing it sort of just puts all the pieces of the puzzle in front of me, knowing it really was meant to be this way. And I wish I'd known that way back at the time. He said, it would have made things even easier. He said that I didn't know how to believe something like that back then. And he said, but it's doing a lot for me right now. He says, I don't know how to explain it. He says, it's almost like you feel like your cells, or I can't remember if he said cells or your muscles, it just feel like they're sitting differently in your body. And I thought, what a beautiful way of saying it.
I think that's what settled means.
Yes.
Like when you're using it in the positive sense, you feel settled in yourself.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. And then his mom says to me, hey, I'd like to talk about something that was really difficult for him. That's a big chunk of his life that he's talked to death, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. And she says, and you can tell him that. She says, you can say it that way. It's fine. She says, I'm just playing around with him, but it's true. And it would be a good validation for him as well. And that's foster care. And she says, so when I passed, he had to go into foster care. And she says, I want to talk about that period of time of life. Could you mention that and ask him for permission? And tell him I'm asking for permission. So I did. I said, I told Newton, and he said, she's asking for permission. He goes, I don't understand. And I said, she's trying to show respect. And he goes, yes, okay. I would like to hear what she wants to say about it. So she talks about the fact, and there's a few different areas here. She talks about the fact that in foster care, he went only to a couple of homes. He wasn't shuffled around a lot. I think she said two. And the first home, they didn't have everything settled legally. It was by the time he got to the second home that the inheritance that she had got transferred to him legally. And so when he goes into the second foster care home, he comes with a ton of money. And he ends up staying in this foster family until he's an adult. And they have other foster children, but he's treated differently than them. And he says, when I tell him that, he goes, yes. He says, can she continue talking, please? I need something here. And I said to her, continue. And she goes, well, when he was in the second foster family and they had access to a lot of money, their standard of living increased. And they were happier and less stressed people, which just makes sense. Mm-hmm. That just makes sense. That doesn't make them bad or greedy people.
Money makes a sense of happiness for people.
That's right. They were able to have food. They were able to increase the quality of their furniture, all mm-hmm. kinds of things. They were able to get another vehicle. And his mom said, you were able
to participate in a lot more events than the other foster children. And he said, that's the difference. And she said, that's right, because other than that, those foster parents did not treat you or the other children any differently. They loved all of you equally. They just didn't have the same amount of money to allocate to the other children. Mm-hmm. But the other children benefited because they got a new couch or they got a car or they got, so they did, mm-hmm. their lives changed as well, just in different ways. And she doesn't go in and explain why they didn't get as many activities. I don't know.
Well, that would be an integrity dilemma. The money is allocated for this child.
Yeah.
How do you justify saying, well, I'm going to put this other child in a sport when it was this child's money?
Yeah.
Even though this child might deserve it. How do you...
Yeah.
How do you come to that decision?
I don't know.
When it's not technically your money, but you're trying to be responsible.
Yeah. Yes. So there were ways... And she doesn't go into it. She just sort of says these things. And says that he was in more activities than the other children and that he was able to go to swim. And she just named a couple. She just said a few of the things that he went into. And one of them was math groups because he loved math, and that at school he was always on the math team and like that kind of thing. But that he also did, I think she said dance, because it came up later again in Newton's session how much the two of them loved to dance, and that they danced individually in the house when he was a kid, but that eventually when she played some other types of music, she would say, come dance with me. This is where you put your hand. This is where you put your other one. You put it here, and we're going to go one step, two step, cha-cha, cha or whatever. And she would teach him these little simple, more classical or formal dance steps. And he... Kelly is so freaking cute during the session. Newton just starts to laugh and he goes, I can hardly wait to share this recording, he said, with my partner and our children, because I dance and I'm always going up to my partner and taking my partner and saying, my hand goes here, yours goes here, now we're going to do this. And I instruct, but to the point that my partner has now purchased us dance classes.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. And we dance with our children. And he said, I am so happy to know and to kind of have that memory come back. He says, because I had vaguely the memory I danced with my mother, but until you had said about the placement of the hands and the cha-cha-cha, he said, I'd forgotten the types of dances that my mom taught me to do. He said, and this is such a wonderful memory. He said, because I can recall like the feeling of her hands, the softness of her skin, like just how she would say, and you put it here on my waist. No, up higher here. No, not that high or whatever. And he said, it's bringing back some really fun and gentle and loving memories of my mom. And I said, hey, I said, can I ask you a question now that it's coming back a bit, especially about the dance and the instructions? I said, did your mother look super feminine, but have had a wildly masculine voice? And he goes, yes. I said, she's this little petite woman and she has this deep voice. And he goes, yes. He goes, people would look twice when my mother opened her mouth for the first time when they met her to speak, because it was like, are you kidding me? That's coming out of that little person. And I said, I don't get the sense that she's saying, because she's not actually singing Ave Maria or any other songs. And I don't mean that part. I just mean that I hear the deepness of it. That's it. And he goes, yeah, I don't know that she's saying either, but she did. I can confirm the deep voice. And there again, a lovely memory for him and a little bit of an opening again to something else, eh? And then he says, does she have anything else to say? It's getting near the end of the session. And she shows me, she comes up to me and she goes, you haven't seen something because it's on the side of my face. I'm just going to turn. So she turns her face to one side. And on her right, I can see a mole right near her eye, like on the top of the cheekbone. And it's not huge. It's pretty small.
And if she hadn't pointed it out to me, Kelly, I never would have noticed, even though I had seen her when she showed the teeth earlier. And I said this to him. I said she had to turn her face and, you know, exactly where it was on the cheekbone and that it was quite small and that it was a little mole. And he said, yeah. And he goes, look. And then he comes closer to the camera and he turns his head. And it's not identical, but man, is it close. And he shows me the mole, but his is a little bigger than hers. It's more noticeable had he turned his head into like in that the opposite direction, right? And I said, oh, I said, your mom's showing me that she has the same thing as you. And he goes, yeah. And he says, and I keep an eye on it. He says, you know, and he starts telling me, I make sure I get it checked, like that little bit of a conversation. And then he says, okay, he says, I want the last few minutes of the session to say something to you. Are you done? And I said, yes, I believe your mom is finished. And he goes, first of all, I want to thank my mom for showing up. He said, oh, I booked this appointment. I had so many questions about the kids and their future. He said, I had questions about my partner and my career and my finances and life. He says, and then my partner just walked up to me and said, hey, how about just the whole hour for you and your mom? Mm-hmm. You haven't seen your mom since you were 10 years old. And I think we're okay. And I think our finances are going to work out. And you and I always talk and we always move through life together. We handle things. I have trust in us. I think you should spend the hour just talking and being with your mom. And let's see what that does for you. Mm-hmm. Let's see what that does for you in the relationship to yourself, to your career, us. How it makes you and changes you as a dad, as a friend, just right to your core. And I think that's something you should do and consider. And he said, man, he says, I walked away and I really struggled with that because it was like all about me and meeting my needs because I want my mom and all the other things that were about our future. And he said, I think my partner was correct. So I chose this. And he says, I've got to tell you that my partner made the right suggestion and I made the right decision. And he said, Karen, I came here because I missed her. And he said, there's always this deep sadness in me. I think that my partner feels is always there just under the surface. And maybe this allows that sadness not to be there just under the surface of everything else. And I get her meaning now. He said, I came here because I wanted validation that she knew what happened to me in the foster, that I was in foster care. I wanted to know she knew I had kids. I wanted to know that she knew I had a partner. I wanted to know how I was like her, in what ways I was like her. And you confirmed some I know. And you also told me about some that I'd forgotten. And you told me some that were brand new. And he said, this makes me feel connected to my mom. And I haven't felt connected to her since I was 10.
Yeah, I think you just hit on the entire point of the podcast. And I don't think a lot of people are going to make this connection. So I'm going to go ahead and do it. We see this all the time when people come for sessions, they want psychic future. They want to know that things are going to be okay. That's the general kind of rule of thumb, right? I want to know where my finances are at. I want to know my kids are going to be okay. I want to know that I'm going to be okay. And while I think it's kind of lovely that you're coming to a psychic, you know, with that trust, ultimately we don't actually have it. So we think if we have the answers that we're going to feel secure. We think if we have the answers, we can breathe easy and just kind of chug along in life and everything will be fine because someone told me it will be. We leave with a high and then we go back to everyday life and we still get nervous and we wonder, even though she said my finances will be okay, will they? And even though she said my relationship will be okay, will it? And even though she said my children are going to be okay, will they? Because with every decision that you disagree with, you doubt that they will be okay. And so knowing, or whatever version of capital K knowing you're thinking about, doesn't actually alleviate the anxieties that we have on a regular basis. Our connections do. So while he might say there's an underlying sadness in my life, he's not necessarily drawing the parallel as to how that's playing out with anxiety. He sits down, he makes connections with the people that matter in his life, in this case, a soul, a loved one that's passed, and the connection is what creates security. The connection is what makes knowing and not knowing just fine. Because we have this self-efficacy that happens when we truly deeply connect with people. So he sits down, he hears from his mom that his life is witnessed, that he is loved, and he can walk back into his regular everyday life and have the self-efficacy to make the money, to coach his kids to make good decisions, to connect to his partner and know that they're going to communicate well. That's what connections do in life. That was the entire point of what his brilliant partner encouraged him to do. I love it. And I wish every client came in understanding that, because it makes the connections that much deeper and it makes your life that much better.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Thanks. Well, you couldn't have done a better job.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.